Hey, what's up, folks? Clem from Liberty Lockdown is going to join me today to talk about two stories that you're not hearing that much about in the media that seem huge. The first one is Joe Biden's house was raided by the FBI over the weekend in apparently a 13-hour search in which they found more classified documents. And then today it's being reported an FBI official from the Trump-Russia collusion probe has now been charged with illegal dealings with Russians. Wow. So that's two different things they accused Republicans and President Trump of that seems like they got caught doing. It's pretty embarrassing considering what a big stink they were throwing over Trump's classified documents just a few weeks later to have Biden do the same exact thing. Not a great week for Democrats. Or is it? Some people are speculating that they want to replace Joe Biden with somebody else who's not so old, clueless, and useless. It's going to be a great convo today. A lot of fun and very informative. Dream Rare Podcast starts now.
The Dream Rare Podcast, welcome to the show. The way to get the news at the desk or on the road. Let's go. God is great and success in our control. The world is crazy, but we get better from obstacles, yeah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Dream Rare Podcast. I'm here with special guest Clint from Liberty Lockdown. You could check his links in the description, mine as well. And also, after this live stream, we're going to go behind our paywalls. Mine's patreon.com/raretalk. His is in his link tree. So we're going to do an extended convo about like five topics. But thank you for joining first, Clint. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely, man. I just got back from DC, so I'm happy to do it.
Nice. And you were not Joe Biden, so you didn't get raided, but an FBI official from Trump-Russia probe is charged with illegal dealings with Russia. We're going to read that. And then also, you know, this happened on Saturday, and they say that the weekend, like Friday, if you're going to release news, that's the time to do it. The FBI found more classified documents in a 13-hour search of Biden's home. I'm not hearing much about that from the left or the right, despite it being so massive, and they made a huge stink out of, obviously, like the Trump raid.
Yeah. Well, and you have to ask yourself, like, did this dude wallpaper his house with classified documents? Like, how is there so many? He's had his attorneys have been going through it for a month, just over and over again, these reports. And now the FBI comes in and no one seems to care.
Well, to defend, you know, I don't like to defend Joe Biden, but Corn Pop, you have to understand Corn Pop was a bad dude. And it's traumatizing remembering what a bad dude Corn Pop is. And now, you know, President Biden's not racist. He loves people of all colors and all genders. But, you know, he's afraid of Corn Pop breaking into his garage. So I'm guessing he tried to, like, you know, make a barrier out of the classified documents just in case Corn Pop, you know, came in. Obviously, some other sort of weapon would have been better, but we all know Joe Biden's not the brightest. So, you know, that's, you know, if you had Corn Pop coming after you, I think you'd see it differently.
I mean, if I had Secret Service that was defending me, I don't know if I'd have to put up a barricade of classified documents, but I understand the logic there. It really is incredible, though, because, like, the Trump raid was such a huge deal. It was like, okay, he can't ever run for president again. And we have a sitting president who, for a full month, documents constantly being disclosed by his attorneys, which, like, no one's ever even explained, as far as I'm aware, maybe you know, as to why his attorneys were doing that research. And right. Now you have the FBI raiding and they still find more. You've had your attorneys in there for weeks and there's still more. It just doesn't make any sense.
But to be clear, you do think Corn Pop is a bad dude, right?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Just making sure. Cause I was like, thought you were some sort of right-wing conspiracy theorist, but as long as we can agree on that, you know, some sort of bipartisan unity. Well, the first story, we're gonna talk about that one a lot, so I'm gonna save it for a second. But the first one is everybody's reporting that an FBI official, one that just so happened to be on the Trump-Russia probe, apparently for some sort of extent, was caught with some sort of illegal dealings with Russians. Apparently, he's gonna get charged with sanctions, evasion, and money laundering charges, according to Washington Examiner. Carry a possible sentence of up to 20 years behind bars. So they look so hard for Russia collusion or Russian crimes between Trump and Russia, they found their own in the FBI, apparently.
Well, yeah, do you want to go into the details now or should we save it?
You could talk about it, but yeah, okay. I'll read the thing because I think it's going to be boring, but I am going to get to the actual, like, exactly what happened. But yeah, let's hear your take first.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, obviously the Trump-Russia collusion thing was, you know, a setup, and they did everything in their power to concoct it for 4 years, including impeachments and all sorts of insanity. And then it turns out that the FBI actually is the people that were investigating Trump for that collusion. In fact, were helping a Russian oligarch. I forget his name, but he's a billionaire that apparently lives in America. They were helping him circumvent sanctions on Russian oligarchs. So the corruption is just limitless with these people.
Right. And it came out, I mean, they lie so much and there's so many narratives. It's like, I think that's part of their plan. They create something big. It's a diversion. Everybody gets on it. We realize they lie. They move on to the next lie. So it's hard to remember all the lies and fake narratives that they push. But I believe this one, you know, wasn't the Steele dossier involved where they found out that the, you know, it was connected to the Clinton campaign. And it was basically not this organic thing that just popped up, but something that they were almost like opposition.
It was Oppo research, but they were actually planning it. Like the Steele dossier was funded by the Clinton campaign. It's so egregious. And yet that once again, there's no punishment for it. Like they can just do this stuff. They can try and essentially coup a sitting president with information that was planted by his opposition party. And no one seems to care. It really is incredible to watch.
And how many street fights is Corn Pop going to get in before he gets charged like the rest of us? Just because he met Joe Biden one time, it seems like he has some sort of immunity.
I mean, according to Biden, they were having fights with chains, if you ever heard that interview.
And roaches. You know, there were roaches involved. We're not sure if he's talking about marijuana joints or if he's talking about actual roaches.
That's one of the weirdest quotes of all time.
How has no one asked him that question? Like, you know, what did you mean by roaches when you were talking about Corn Pop? Because you know, the streets want to know. But in that story, to get more serious, sorry, I have to make myself laugh or else I cry over this stuff because the hypocrisy and the nonsense is just like piling. But it is interesting to see something happen. Let's see what exactly happened. A former top FBI counterintelligence official has been charged with helping a Putin-allied Russian oligarch, Oleg Deripaska, evade sanctions put on him by the U.S. government. Charles McGonagall, sounds like a Harry Potter character, Professor McGonagall, for the Harry Potter fans out there, maybe 20 laughed, 80% is like, what? But Charles McGonagall, a 22-year veteran of the FBI who retired in 2018 as the special agent in charge of the FBI's counterintelligence division in New York, was charged by the Justice Department with conspiring to violate and violating the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, with conspiring and committing money laundering as well. While at the FBI, McGonagall had supervised and participated in the investigations of Russian oligarchs, including Deripaska. McGonagall also played the role in the Trump-Russia collusion. Deripaska was indicted himself in September for sanctions evasions. I'll read the rest, but so far, what do you think?
I mean, that's pretty straightforward. It seems as if the people that were allegedly investigating the Trump-Russia collusion were in fact colluding with Russians simultaneously. I just don't know how anybody looks at the FBI and doesn't go, oh, this organization has to be abolished at this point.
Right. And I'm reading this. I don't know. I mean, I guess they do some good work, but I know that's the libertarian to abolish it. And honestly, a lot of Republicans are now saying it needs to be reined in, downsized, like, you know, something's going on. Well, let's just say I'm reading the second half. It's not even worth reading the whole paragraph. It's very repetitive. I'm wondering this is just the angle, because obviously the obvious angle is the hypocrisy. They're investigating. They really didn't find anything. They set it up. You know, everything they're complaining about Trump doing, from classified documents to this, they're getting caught doing. Like, that's so obvious. My question is this with the sanctions. Like, obviously, if you work at the FBI or worked at the FBI and there's some sort of Russian guy evading sanctions, you should probably sit it out, you know, especially when there's a war with Russia. It's just very risky to do that. You know, I guess he was maybe friends with the guy trying to get him to avoid sanctions. I'll say this, because I know we are fighting Russia. Right. We have an economic sort of warfare with Russia. We're providing weapons to Ukraine. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Are they going overboard? Because, you know, they forced the president or the, I guess, owner of Chelsea. He was like a Russian Jewish guy who, I guess, knew Putin. He had to step down. It's almost like if you're rich and you're Russian, or you know Russia, you know, the whatever they want to call it, American world order, liberal world order, American our allies, they're coming after you hard. So is there a possibility that this guy just thought, man, this guy's being like they're sanctioning everybody and I'm going to try to help my guy?
I mean, it's possible, but I sincerely doubt that he'd be friends with this dude if he wasn't some, you know, Russian billionaire that can help him in either his career or his career post-career, you know, whatever that amounts to being. Because as with most corruption within the government, it's usually predicated on a job offer that's coming once you're out of office. I mean, you see it with, you know, Wall Street constantly. You have this revolving door between BlackRock and the political class, the Federal Reserve Board. Like, all of the corruption is just rampant. It's everywhere. So this doesn't exactly surprise me, but I think that it's more than just hypocrisy. It's really criminality. And I think that it's a good sign that they're actually prosecuting him. I just don't understand why Hillary Clinton and her campaign get off on what amounted to a very similar, you know, behavior in terms of, you know, concocting a narrative against Donald Trump. And as you know, I'm not a huge Trump supporter by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't understand why Trump supporters in particular, given what they now know about the Trump-Russian collusion scheme, wouldn't want the FBI abolished. I mean, if you're to the point that you have a federal police force that is actively working to undermine a sitting president, like, is that reformable? Like, honestly, I don't think so.
Right. No, I mean, they took crazy, crazy amount of steps to really kind of influence the election. And interesting with the whole Russia collusion, because I thought when it all came out from both sides of the progressive or the populist left and the right wing that liked Trump, it was this populist movement in 2016. I saw it on Facebook. You know, first I kind of fell for Bernie. A lot of people knew that. But my soul was telling me that Hillary Clinton wasn't the one. And I think what inspired me the most was the fact that the media was just like, it's over, superdelegates. I'm like, this doesn't seem like a fair election if they're saying it's over before we even voted. So I got really into that. And I think the establishment hated the fact that people weren't just going with the candidate they wanted on the left. And then when it came to the right, Facebook played a huge role and everything played a huge role. Not Russian ads and this and that, they showed little bits, but just the people of America using their power. It's not like the journalists control the narrative anymore like they did against Ron Paul and in the past. Now we had the power. And I felt like from the left perspective, when I was kind of liking Bernie more than Hillary, they said, you're Russian, you're Russian. I got called, I've never been to Russia, I'm not Russian. I got called Russian 100 times before Trump even got into office. So then when they said, oh, it's Russia, now we got to crack down on social media, I always felt like that was an excuse just to basically take the power away from the people on the populist left and the populist right, and yeah, basically start being like, you have to log in, you have to show us where your location is. You know, I saw the surveillance state kind of crack down on all of us in 2017 when Trump won.
Dude, you nailed it. I mean, that's exactly what it was. Essentially, they lost control of the propaganda arms of the cathedral, whatever you want to call it. They were so accustomed to basically being able to force feed these duopoly candidates. It was like, all right, we want Barack Obama and we want John McCain. Like, okay, now pick. That ended with Trump. And I think that's why the social media crackdown came so hard. That's why the FBI got involved. Once again, a reason for abolition. That's why the FBI got involved with setting terms of service, constantly pestering every social media company about who and what information should be banned. I just think, you know, it's so clear that that's what that crackdown was about, is that they were losing control of the narrative and they found a way to get it back.
Yeah, and with the, you know, a lot of these agencies and stuff where people are like, you know, we definitely need those. I understand, because I understand having security and a strong government. But when you look at certain things, when, say, the Department of Homeland Security, it sounds like it's been there forever. Like, we need that. Like, what, we couldn't run a country without it. But when you really look up when the Department of Homeland Security was created, I believe it was after 9/11. So we've been secure in this country for hundreds of years without it. And then they make it, and then they tell us that we need it. Same with the Department of Education. Go look up when that was created and ask yourself, has education been better before or after that? So, you know, there needs to be some sort of role. Obviously, we can't just get invaded by other countries and we can't have a weak country. But it is interesting how much power so many of these agencies have and how many of them didn't actually exist for as long as people think they did.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, TSA too, you know, people are like, oh, we could never fly without TSA. But like, that stuff happened in 02, if you're old enough to remember. And then in the 90s, you could just walk up to your gate and get on the plane. There was like no security at all. It just, it really goes to show how rapidly you kind of slip into a police state. And yes, there is value sometimes with these organizations. Like, I'm not going to pretend as if there's none. And I think that you're right when you are more on the defensive with the libertarians when it comes to defunding and abolishing the police. Like, we aren't structurally set up for that right now. Like, it would take a lot of cultural development for us to get there. And I'm not sure that we're, you know, within 20, 30 years of even being potentially without a, you know, state-ran or city-ran police force. But with the FBI, brother, like, it's been around for 100 years. It has been utilized to go after political dissidents since its inception. And now it has just, I mean, you have the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping case, which was like more federal informants and FBI, active FBI agents than it was, you know, alleged perpetrators. There's just a litany of examples of their corruption. And I really don't think, I think that the bad far outweighs the good at this point for that particular organization.
As do a lot of Americans. And yeah, that was a crazy case. I believe people ended up getting charged by that. Before we move on to them raiding Joe Biden, so I guess it's nice to know that they're not just raiding average Americans. They're also raiding the president. But Before we move on, I guess I want to say this to wrap up the FBI getting charged for collusion. Obviously, his crimes and his complicity, you know, was cracked down on. Something I noticed with the Russia-Ukraine war, besides obviously the hundreds of billions of dollars were given to Zelensky, they pretty much banned Russian television, so you can't really find it anymore or like hear that perspective. When Zelensky and Putin talked, it's like you could hear Zelensky all the time, but it's hard to even find a Putin speech because nobody airs it, and only RT does, and it's banned. And now you almost have this sort of isolation of, you know, don't look there, don't think there. You know, that's what I'm just wondering with this specific guy, where I'm not saying he was, I don't fully understand what he was doing. Obviously, if you're doing money laundering, that's illegal. You know, you're doing, you know, trying to help him avoid sanctions. That's stupid. If you're in the government, like they're, especially during a war, they're going to crack down on you. But that's where I wonder, are they ever going to let Russia join the world again, you know, after this war? Because we've done crazy wars and stuff with other people. We're like fighting China, but we still trade with them. Russia's still trading with the world. Like, as much as the left or whatever liberal world order neocon establishment hates Russia, like what are we gonna do with them? And are they like blacklisted forever? And anybody who has any, like, how long is this gonna last? That's just my last question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And does it end without the world ending? I mean, that's the real question. It's like, can we continue to have this incredibly antagonistic relationship with Russia and the Russian people without it escalating into a world war? I don't know. I don't know the answer. If you listen to Lindsey Graham, who is kind of like the top spokesperson for that neoliberal world order slash neoconservative world order, he is very explicit. He says, this doesn't stop until Putin steps down. So for whatever reason, they have decided that Putin must go. And, you know, the guy has the biggest nuclear arsenal on Earth. Like, do you really want to play that game of chicken with this guy? He's also very popular in his country. I mean, people struggle to believe that, but he is. And that's reality. If you talk to Russian people, they're like, yeah, Putin's our guy. So I don't know. I don't know if you can actually get a populist uprising in Russia to supplant this guy. And it makes you wonder if they're not planning for some sort of CIA coup or something. I don't know, man. I think
they're probably going to try to replace him with like a transgender feminist left wing or something. And then the whole country is going to turn into San Francisco and we'll be like, democracy. And then BlackRock can rebuild it. But jokes is, well, actually, that's not even really a joke. But
I know. I was like, that could happen, dude.
Non-joke Babylon B headlines that turn into reality 3 years later aside. You know, we'll see what happens, but I pray that Zelensky and Putin strike a deal. I'm not too worried about like escalating war, but obviously, I mean, they keep pushing further and further, and things that they said they wouldn't do 7 months ago, they're doing openly, and you're crazy to disagree with what they used to disagree with.
Well, and let me add real quick is that it's really remarkable the ability, like, given that we have the internet, which is essentially a decentralized platform for information sharing, we still struggle to hear like the leader of the opposition party in a proxy war between the two biggest nuclear powers on Earth, and we can't even hear what this guy has to say. Like, I'm just saying, it's like, it's amazing how well they're able to suppress information.
Right. And I like to hear it because it's like, whether I agree or disagree, it's like, let me just hear the full speech so I know what he said. So This is the second story for those who could see. I'm going to move it from my face now. But FBI finds more classified documents in a 13-hour search of Biden's home. FBI agents found more classified documents. This is CNBC, by the way. Everybody's reporting it, though. FBI agents found more classified documents at President Joe Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware. Was it near his Corvette that he always talks about? Come on, man. I mean, come on. Corn Pop was a Corvette. I mean, come on. Everybody has a Corvette and classified documents in their garage. It's like, no, dude, it's not relatable. But anyway, I guess they had a consensual search. They both agreed for 13 hours. Other classified documents were found there earlier this month, and in November, a Washington think tank, where Biden kept a private office before becoming president, Attorney General Merrick Garland, who seems angry all the time, earlier this month appointed a special counsel to investigate Biden. Ex-President Donald Trump is under criminal investigation. Of course, they had to bring that in for taking hundreds of classified documents. So, you know, before we read more into the story, this is huge. And I know I hit you up before saying you want to talk about this. And you're like, yeah, I didn't even really hear about that. So for such a massive story, basically the FBI raiding Biden's house and finding more classified documents a couple months after they did that to Trump seemed like it kind of went real quietly through the media.
I mean, I guess it's not technically a raid because it was a mutually agreed upon. So they just arrived and he let them in, which honestly, like, that may have been a possibility with Trump. You know, like, they could have probably reached out and said, hey, we're intending to raid you. We'd rather not have that be, you know, a black eye on our nation. So we're going to let you know in advance. Did they do that with Trump? No, they didn't. They want to make it as damaging to his reputation as humanly possible and make it seem as serious as humanly possible. But then when it comes to Biden, well, we're going to give you a heads up. I think that says a lot about, you know, their political leanings.
Right. And even reading CNBC, I tend to like CNBC more than NBC News, like because they do like more like money stuff. And I find their headlines are pretty, I mean, it's still mainstream media, but out of all of them, I like the way they kind of break it down. It's funny, just the framing of this, though. It's, you could just tell the bias where it's like, you know, Biden got raided, but it was consensual, you know, but Trump's still under investigation for hundreds of documents. Like, they have to just push their narrative and say, like, yeah, this happened, but Trump's worse. And it's like, yeah, it could have been consensual. I don't think a lot of right wingers have the luxury. Like, it's like you're as if they have like 50,000 kids in their basement or something when you raid a right winger. But when a left winger, it's like, sounds like a paddy whack. Like, yeah, come on in, just, you know. And like with Trump, apparently they threw, or you know, allegedly, according to reports in Trump, they threw all Melania's stuff on the ground and left it there. See, that's the type of stuff that really makes, and I know Trump, FBI, this is like higher level stuff, but it really makes people not like the government more. Like, I'll give you an example in my personal life. I don't hate the police or hate anybody working on border security. You know what I'm saying? I understand these are people and they do a lot of good work. I was getting off a cruise one time and I chose to be randomly, I don't know if it was border or some sort of whatever government agency thing they have there to like look in people's bags for drugs or whatever, right? And I didn't really care because I didn't have anything. I was just getting off a cruise boat and I'm like, oh, this is just annoying. I have to get slowed down. But they kind of did what they did in Melania's room to me. Basically, they went through my suitcase, don't care. Do whatever you got to do, take it all out. But then basically just went through it with zero respect for like me folding my clothes and stuff. And then kind of just left it there and like didn't even make eye contact with me. And you're like, you're talking to somebody who's more conservative, that doesn't hate the government, that doesn't hate you, that thinks you're doing a good job. And then you just treat me like garbage. And it's like, on to the next. At least you could look me in the eye and say, okay, appreciate you, my man. Thank you for cooperating and stuff. And like, you know, like I'll fold my own clothes, but give me even an ounce of respect as a man. They don't do that. And they're just, this is why people tend to not like these people.
Yeah. Well, I think that the issue is that they really have a monopoly on violence. You know, they're able to basically act as if there are rulers because they can kill with impunity oftentimes. Not saying that most cops do or anything, but it's like you just have to justify the use of violence and basically you can get away with anything. So because they get used to that, they get used to the police unions and the defense that they have, I think that it causes people to behave in a kind of tyrannical fashion where you just don't have to be respectful of others. And I think what we've lost is like, you ought to have a greater sense of responsibility to society because you have been entrusted with a greater level of power. And many of them lose that at some point. And I think that's a problem that I don't know how we get back to that, where like cops feel as if, okay, yes, I have an immense amount of power over you, so I'm going to be cool. Like, can you just be cool?
I'm laughing at the comments because someone said Anomaly looks like a drug dealer. Someone said Anomaly fit the profile. Someone said I'd profile Anomaly too. Looks like a hoodlum.
You look like a drug dealer and I look like your customer.
That's what my mom said too, because I was wearing a big American like cowboy hat with the American flag on it. And my mom's like, you probably looked like somebody that would do something. Like, you know, my mom's always like shave, you know, tie your hair up or cut it. You know, she's old fashioned for sure. So that's funny. People are like, you look like a hoodlum.
Well, the beanie with the God bless on it and selling drugs is just perfect. I love it.
Yep. But here's the thing. I guess some people are just reckless and look like that, but I'm guessing the higher profile people, they try to be, maybe they're not sneaky. Maybe they just look like me and they look like a homeless person, but I don't know. I didn't care about being, it wasn't like, oh my gosh. I'm like, dude, I got clothes and maybe like some souvenirs, but the way they just threw it on the ground, left it there and like didn't even look at me. Even if they would have left it a mess and said, okay, appreciate you. Just like on to the next. I'm like, all right, dude, geez. But let me read the article real quick. So the FBI found more classified documents at the Wilmington, Delaware home of President Joe Biden during a consensual search that lasted nearly 13 hours. The discovery was the fourth time since November that classified records or material have been found at a private address of Biden's. His personal lawyer, Bob Bauer, in a statement said the Department of Justice seized six items containing of documents with classified markings and surrounding material. So here's an angle that I've seen some conservatives say. You know, basically, Trump was the president, so he had the power to declassify documents. I'm sure he could have done a better job to say that or announce it, but he did have the power. A lot of, if not all of Biden's classified documents seem to be from when he was vice president, and he doesn't have the power to have them, and there's really just way less of an excuse for him to have them. That's the conservative talking point that I see.
I think they're right, though. Like, you know, a lot of people will say, like, oh, you're just trying to justify Trump's behavior. It's like, no, I'm trying to explain why in many, you know, in many angles to this thing, it seems as if what Biden did is worse. He was the vice president. He didn't have the power to declassify. He's sitting on a treasure trove of classified documents. I mean, ultimately, I don't really care about either of these stories, if I'm being totally honest. Like, I don't care that a former president has these documents. I think it's weird. I think it's worth knowing what those documents are. I think it's worth knowing if they were using them for nefarious purposes, if they're using it to blackmail people, if they're using it to cover up, you know, shady business deals. There's a whole litany of possible reasons that this is a big story, but there's also a bunch of reasons why this might not be a big story at all, and it could just be the deep state utilizing this information as leverage to either get him to step down or to damage him so significantly that he cannot run in 2024. I think that's what everyone's asking themselves.
Right, and that's what we're going to talk about next, speculation, if this is kind of a way to get, you know, a weekend at Biden out the door. But before we do that, I think
Biden.
I know I just came up with that on the, that's my freestyle rap tendency. I just come up on the spot, but
brilliant.
Thank you. Okay, please. If you think that's brilliant too, I mean, patreon.com/raretalk. Give me your money, folks. No, I'm just kidding. I'll freestyle more. I'll be like a monkey on stage. I'll be like, throw money at me. I'll do whatever you want. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you to everybody on patreon.com/raretalk. And our bonus episode thing that we're going to do, I'm also, for Facebook subscribers, I'm going to give it to you guys too, that and Patreon. But what I wanted to say about Biden's classified documents was one of them, I think, had to do with Ukraine. And this is something that's so interesting to me, where it's like, okay, he has a document about Ukraine that he took when he was vice president, and then 7-8 years later, we're in a war with Russia and we're backing Ukraine. You know, Lindsey Graham, the rhino of rhinos that for God knows what reason Trump keeps hanging out with and platforming and making him like a bigger star than he needs to be. God. But Lindsey Graham, I think it was John McCain and a few other politicians were in Ukraine in 2016, basically waging war on Russia. And I've used this analogy. I think it's equivalent to China being at the border of Mexico and like Xi Jinping's little minions being like, okay, it's time to attack. Do you think we would let China fly to Mexico and try to like essentially wage war on us? So that's this idea that this just happened spontaneously. It's like before Trump even got into office, you got Lindsey Graham trying to start a war in Ukraine while they're calling everybody Russians. It seems like this was a setup. But what do you think about him having a document of Ukraine? Like, I wonder what that document says, but I guess it's classified, so no one's ever going to find out except Joe Biden, his Corvette, and possibly Corn Pop if he's smoking a roach in the garage. You know, classic corny.
Classic corn. Classic corn. My God, that's too funny. Yeah, I mean, these are the questions that we need to be asking, honestly. Like, that's the real big story there, is like, primarily because the narrative is that Russia invaded Ukraine for no reason, you know, and yet you have the former vice president, current president of the United States, that's sitting on classified documents that pertain to Ukraine. Why? Why is that the case? And you're right that it was 2014 all the way up until 2021, really, that there was a war from the Ukraine proper to the Ukrainian east that is primarily Russian speaking. And you're also right that it was John McCain and Lindsey Graham that were on the ground there saying next year is the war of offense. They said it repeatedly. Shameless plug here. If anybody needs the backstory, I have all of the videos laid out. It's called The War They Wanted. You can check it out on Liberty Lockdown. It's on YouTube still by some miracle of God. where I prove out that like this is a war that they wanted for a very long time. And it's not to justify it. It's not to say that Putin's in the right or anything like that. It's just to say this story is far more complicated than what they've told us about. And I'm glad that more and more people are starting to ask these questions. And the fact that the FBI is raiding, you know, the current president once again, I think we have to find out. There's got to be smoke to this, or there's got to be fire to the smoke, I think.
And now we're going to get to what everyone's talking about. But first, I'm, for humor purposes, going to do a shameless plug. Black hats are back on DreamRare.com. Not just blue ones anymore. Black ones were sold out for months. We have black hats on DreamRare.com. This looks good when you're at war. Will it help you? No. But you could look stylish, you know, and maybe make a TikTok video in Ukraine or something. But, and there are actual people fighting, I think, too. I'm just saying. So DreamRare.com, the black beanies are back. Anyway, I wanted to say, everybody's speculating. I want to hear your take first before I even say anything, unfiltered, unjabbed into my direction. You know, what do you think about, is this a way to get Joe Biden out? And do you think they want to replace him in 2024? And if you do think that, with who?
I think there's no doubt that they want to replace him in 24. I think that the real question is, well, there's two major questions. One, is this enough leverage to get him to step down? Like, can they Nixon him where he just goes, okay, you got the goods on me, I'm going to step down? Or is it just leverage to get him not to run? Because I think that's really their concern, because they didn't use this leverage, even though they had to have known about it. There's no way this just like came up out of the blue, in my opinion. So they probably knew about this for a while, and they were thinking to themselves, okay, we have this leverage over him. As long as he doesn't run again in 24, maybe we won't even use it. As soon as the midterms were over, Biden comes out and he says, yes, I'm running in 24. And then all of a sudden, this becomes a really big deal to the FBI, deep state, whatever you want to call it. So I think that that's one major question. Two, who are they going to replace him with? Their bench is barren. I mean, they have terrible candidates. So I think that, unfortunately for America, like the three options I would go with are, a lot of people say Pete Buttigieg. I think he destroyed himself with the flight cancellations. He's in charge of transportation. Like, I don't know how you can run on that. Gavin Newsom has obviously been a disaster for the state of California. I'm a refugee from California. But he still seems like one of the favorites. And the guy that they tried to put up for speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, I think is an interesting candidate. Once again, you know, they can play the diversity card. They obviously are in unanimity in supporting him for speaker. So he seems to be very popular. I didn't know much about the guy until a month ago. So I don't know what do you think?
I want to say, you know, Trump made everybody feel like anyone could win in like a inspiring way. Like, I think when Trump won, they're like, oh, you don't even have to be a politician. Then Ye wanted to run, and other people. And it's like, oh, right, anyone could win if you try your hardest and you're for the people. And then Biden won. And then all these losers are like, wait, if Joe Biden could win, literally anyone could win. So I feel like, you know, before Biden, it's like Gavin Newsom's too corrupt. He's too bad. He's not well-spoken. He seems like a villain from a Disney movie. But now it's like, if Joe Biden can win, you know, he's thinking, yeah, I mean, a piece of paper could win. Like, this, you know, this could be president, probably start less wars and give less money to Zelensky. So I think Biden kind of redefined anybody can win. So anything's a possibility. I'll say this. Someone sent me a video of Will Witt, you know, basically speculating. This was kind of his take. I want to go off that. He's like, you know, what's going to happen in 2024 is, you know, we're going to beat each other up in the primaries, like Trump and DeSantis, and we're going to bruise each other and not be, you know, united. And they're going to run Michelle Obama. That was his prediction. It went pretty viral because people were like, oh, Michelle, oh no, we're going to get a few memoirs and, you know, some Oprah visits. But in general, I'm thinking, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. No one truly knows, but I don't think they're going to run Michelle Obama personally, because I think that it's her and Obama. Like, Obama had 8 years, like people kind of caught on towards the end. With Michelle, there's other controversies, you know, I mean, pretty well liked, but in general, I didn't say that, you said it, but in general, I just think with Obama and her, like Obama, he did a podcast recently and nobody listened to it. Like, so I think it would be best for them to just kind of step out of the scene. Like, they've been on there for so long that I don't know that they want all that attention for 4 years. Maybe they do. I don't think Michelle Obama. I think Gavin Newsom is a possibility. He's been a disaster from California. I think he looks like a villain. He doesn't come off authentic, but
dude, he looks,
if Joe Biden can win, anybody can win.
He looks like a serial killer cocaine addict from the 1980s. Like, straight up, dude. I can't believe that guy has destroyed my home state. I absolutely despise him.
Right, yeah, but I guess anybody could really win. And I want to say this because I appreciate, Will's actually a friend of mine. I used to live in LA. We'd hung out. Nice guy. I like Will. And, you know, maybe Michelle runs. I mean, a lot of people think that. But when he was talking about, like, we're going to beat each other up in the primaries, and I'm sure you'd probably agree as a libertarian who wants to see a little competition, I hear what people are saying, because right now we are kind of divided. Trump's hanging out with rhinos. He's bragging about the vaccine too much. Like, everybody's starting to talk about it. He's bashing DeSantis, and some people like that. But really, DeSantis is the most popular governor, so it's actually not that popular. And I'm not saying Trump shouldn't do it. I'm just saying we are a little bit divided now. We don't have a clear leader. But I'm all for competition in the Republican primaries. I don't think it should be like patty cake. Everybody hangs out with the lobbyists and it's like, you're the one, go ahead. That's what the Democrats do. It's like, get out of Joe Biden's way and he'll let you run, you know, like transportation, like get out, Pete Buttigieg, you're doing too well. Bernie Sanders, turn into a loser again. I don't personally think we need that. I understand that it might be a rough primary, but I actually want that because I think Trump needs to be challenged. I think DeSantis needs to be challenged. And I'm looking for a blood sport, like, pun. That's not, I obviously don't want to hurt each other, but, you know, metaphorically, of course, yeah, like on the stage. So they can kind of expose the weakness in each other, and then the true best wins and gets the votes, and then we move forward behind that candidate. But the thing is, if Trump loses to DeSantis, does he have the humility to, you know, get behind him? Or I see where he's coming from, saying we just need to unite. But I'm tired of just uniting over nothing. What, are we going to unite behind Lindsey Graham? Like, we need a little competition. But then afterwards, yeah, you don't want to be too divided, I guess.
Of course. No, I think a good example is with the McCarthy speaker race. It was like a lot of people were like, oh, we should have just backed him from the get-go. It's like BS. You know how much they got out of those negotiations? Like the Freedom Caucus, the holdouts, what they got was FBI investigations. They got the J6, you know, real hearings. They got a bunch of things that, like, I as a libertarian very much want.
Right.
So I'm all for not blood sport, but just a battle in the primaries, because I think that, especially if you're a Trump supporter, you should want that. Because if you don't have DeSantis up there to really challenge Trump on his record, then Trump isn't going to learn, because he hasn't been on Twitter. He still thinks he's, like, you know, Jesus to the right wing. And that just ain't the case anymore, man. Like, a lot of people are questioning his record with a little bit of hindsight on their favor. So I think he needs a hard competitor just to make him, you know, get back in touch with the people.
Right. And I think a lot of people, we're all stuck in somewhat of our echo chamber. It's like right wingers listen to right wing people, left wingers listen to left wing people. Sometimes we forget about the people who really decide the election, which is the floaters, the independents, the people that maybe would vote for DeSantis and not Trump, etc. And I think that, you know, basically the Democrats don't really have a narrative. Their narrative is basically like they don't want to let girls abort, like abortion, abortion, abortion. That's like their huge issue. Like, oh my God, they're going to not let you go to an abortion clinic. Oh my God, I can't vote for Joe Biden. That's their narrative. And then it's also like a we're not Republicans. They don't have an agenda. They don't have a path. Nothing's organic or authentic about Democrats. It's we'll let you abort your kids up until like birth, basically, if not after. And then like literally almost at a certain extent. But then we're just not Trump. You know, so I think with Republicans, you know, Trump, especially recently, I feel like he's so famous. It's not like any press is good press. He's had all the press. Who doesn't know who Donald Trump is? I've never found one. Right. Hey, have you ever heard of Donald Trump? Who? It's like, if I want to be friends with that person, I'm like, you must have not been on the internet for the last 6 years, and I envy your calmness. But
I've just been meditating for like a decade. Incredible.
Right. But everybody knows Donald Trump. So it's like, you know, his populist kind of moment, I feel like now he's selling the vaccine a lot. He's bashing DeSantis. He doesn't really have, he's not tapped into the culture like he was in 2017-18. I see him as like a gift to Democrats in many ways, because it's like then they could just run on the we're not that, where I feel like it's strategic for Democrats to kind of get rid of Biden, because everybody feels like it's not great in the country. I mean, I'm having a good time. I'm not going to complain, but like eggs, groceries, like everybody feels it. The recession after the 2020 Operation Warp Speed lockdown, print the money thing that
got brutal.
Yeah, it's hurting people. So the illusion of like we're correcting it would be very beneficial to Democrats, because it's like, oh, it's Biden who's been here versus like, no, like Gavin Newsom's totally different or someone's totally different.
Right.
That's beneficial to them. And I think for Republicans personally, it would be beneficial to have somebody with like a fresh rhetoric, you know, and people can disagree, etc. But I think him, DeSantis winning Miami is huge. And I really think you live in Florida, so you kind of see it. He didn't just kind of ride Trump's coattails. I mean, maybe in 2018 he did a little bit, but he created his own narrative. And it's like, I'm not going to be this stereotype of what you want me to be. I'm not going to be that stereotype. I'm just going to tell you what I think. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to push this thing. I'm going to fall back. I'm not saying he has to be the guy, but I think Republicans would be wise to have like this new agenda where it's like, this is who we are. We're not going to. And I know a lot of people don't like that because they want to just run the Trump card for 30 years. Like, it's like, oh, we're Trump Republicans. I'm a Trump Republican. I'm Carrie Lake. I don't dislike Carrie Lake. I'm just saying at a certain point, we need to have our own narrative to the point where it's like, I'm not going to be just a Republican stereotype for the next 20 years, because that's, you know, everybody already has seen that. Like, we need a fresh kind of message, in my opinion.
I'm totally with you. And I think that the reality is like the populist energy that Trump ran and won on was like anti-media, anti-establishment, all these things. Look, what he's been doing for the past year is very pro-establishment when it comes to the medical industry. And he's been basically shilling for pharma. He's been not, you know, demolishing or firing Fauci like he had the opportunity to, or Birx, or any of the other people that were, you know, leading him astray, if you believe that he was just duped. I don't, who knows? But the populist energy is in like Nuremberg trials for these people. Like, that's where the populist energy is. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just being straight with you. Like, there is a huge amount of people that want to see that type of rhetoric from whoever runs on the GOP side. I think DeSantis, as you were describing, he has cut his own path. Like, he's got his own path. It's totally separate from Trump. And the reason he is more popular, in my opinion, than Trump is at this point, is because Trump isn't following that lead. He's not in tune with the populist movement. So I don't think he stands a chance if he doesn't wake up to that. And I think that a hard primary might wake him up to it, but who knows? I he's so egotistical. Like, I don't know if he'll ever be able to reflect on like, oh yeah, that last year of my presidency was really disastrous.
Right. And he's even getting called out by like Bannon, by Roger Stone in some cases, like all his biggest supporters. Because like you said, in 2015, the allure to Trump was really like, he's an outsider. He's not going to hire the swamp. He's not going to work for these people. And it was appealing. Even in 2017, 18, 19, people were being patient. Like, it's not happening yet, but we understand it's a difficult task, what Trump's doing. So we're going to give him time. Now, he's not even trying to pretend like he's that person. He's on stage with Lindsey Graham. He could give, I mean, he's got thousands of supporters that are great people that are working hard. Pretty much every Republican conservative I follow on Twitter or Instagram is worthy of putting on a stage. And he's putting Lindsey Graham, the rhino of rhinos. Every rhino in the world, whether they're in the safari or in Washington in politics, they aspire to be Lindsey Graham. He's like the Muhammad Ali of rhinos. And Trump does his first rally of the year with the biggest rhino in the world. You got rhinos in Africa looking over there like, damn, you know, I'm literally a rhino. And even I'm surprised by that. So it's like, I feel like he's taken advantage of this thing that, you know, people really trust him and like him, to the point where I've seen it for years and people got mad at me, but it's almost like I came to the conclusion that he just doesn't care. He's not really connected to us and he knows he could get away with it. But the question is, how long will that really last? Because it's like, dude, I'm seeing some of the Bill Mitchell, the biggest Trump supporter in the world. Bill Mitchell, I didn't even know if he reported news outside of Trump. He was the biggest Trump fan. Trump, 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 Trump. Even Bill Mitchell's back on Twitter questioning Trump. It's like, bro, yeah, if you lost Bill Mitchell, something like you gotta at
you
least.
You done messed up.
You done messed up. You done messed up losing Bill Mitchell. Bill Mitchell's about to go rogue. No, but
I think you're right, dude. Like, this is why I think DeSantis is really the front runner. Everyone wants to talk about Trump, but I think DeSantis has like, he's got the catbird seat, if you will. Like, he's the front runner. And I think that it's going to require Trump to have a level of self-reflection he has not proven himself to be capable of up until this point of his life, and he's in his 70s. So like, will he find that? Even if he knows, like, I'm sure he's got advisors. I had Roger Stone on the show recently. Even if Roger were to start advising him again and say, yo, you have to reflect on what your base is upset about, and your base is not pumped about Operation Warp Speed. They're not pumped about it. So are you going to like stop with saying you saved 20 million lives, or are you going to continue to just run that into the cliffside? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's capable.
We'll find out. I see a lot of people on YouTube chat are saying, yay, 2024. Will Ye be the wrench in the 2024 election, or will he just hang out with his new wife in Australia? Apparently, I read a Herald Sun article. They're trying to basically possibly ban Ye from Australia for anti-Semitic hate speech. But we'll see if he wants to vacation or come back to throw a wrench in the election. With that being said, we're about to go behind. I'm going to do it on my Patreon page, patreon.com/raretalk, and also all my Facebook supporters. I'll post this later tomorrow. We're going to talk about Clint's take on the Crowder and Daily Wire situation. I want to talk about it a little. He's going to be on Tim Pool tonight, so that'll be interesting. We're going to talk about – what else are we going to talk about? I kind of forget.
A bunch of stuff that we're not allowed to talk about on Maine. So just tune in. You won't want to miss it.
Technically, we could talk about it on here, but yeah, we wanted to keep this pretty brief so it's shareable. I forgot the other topics. I do want to mention how they're saying now the injection, the COVID injection, they're going to make it like a flu thing once a year. Maybe it sounds like the every couple months booster plan was not working, and I'm guessing. I mean, we'll talk about it behind the paywall, but
see, this is why we got to do it on the paywall.
I don't know if that's any better anyway, because it's like all this stuff. Unless I could get my own server, it's like it's risky anywhere. But I talk about it. I just say Trumpy, Pumpy, Fauci, Ouchie, injectable. You know, so I try, because really, almost a lot of times on Instagram, if you just say the word, they put up a warning where it's almost like there's AI algorithms. I never know if it's a blue-haired liberal or an AI algorithm. So I try to throw off the algorithm. You know, saying do weird stuff, call it a pumpy, you know. So great. Like if you know, because we're not just dealing with blue-haired liberals now, we're dealing with artificial intelligence. So
bro, my episode last week, I got my second strike because, and it wasn't even published, it was just uploaded. So like, you're absolutely right, it is algo checking things and just nuking people for it. It's crazy. You really got to speak in code.
All my links are in the description. Check out the description on YouTube or Facebook. If you like Clint, all his links are in the description. We got both of them. So thank you guys, and Patreon, Facebook, appreciate the support. This will be up later tonight or tomorrow. We got like six topics we're going to talk about. God bless you guys, and thanks for being here, Clint.
Thanks, brother.